The old saw goes, of course, that the optimist sees the glass as half full, the pessimist sees the glass as half empty. On a day like today, on In-Gathering Sunday, when we gather up our pledges, it is easy to get anxious and to be a little bit on the pessimistic side of things. At least as a rector, it is very easy for me to look around and get worried and nervous and say, do we have enough money to pay the 22 employees full and part-time that we employ in this church? Do we have enough for the water, for the heat, for the air, for the lights? Do we have enough that we need? Now, the funny thing is I was preaching this exact same thing at the 8 o'clock service, and when I said, I hope we have enough for the lights went out. It was the greatest unintentional sermon illustration ever. And we still don't know exactly what happened. The light switch said they were on and just sort of shorted out. And then they came back on about 10 minutes later. But it's easy on a day like this to get anxious and to be worried that we'll have enough, that there will be enough there to really look at the cup as half empty. And I have to name, you know, the way we organize the church and talk about the church, there are two main metrics that we use to measure the successfulness of a community. One is average Sunday attendance, how many of you are in the pews? The other is plate and pledge, how much money do you raise in the church? And I am a deeply competitive soul, so there is part of me that says, come on, give us the money so we can beat every other church in Atlanta. We're going to beat them all. We'll be the biggest and the best and the brightest. I just have that problem in my head. I just compete pretty much with everything, one way or another, large or small. So much so that at one point in my life, I gave up my golf clubs and I said, oh, I'm giving up my clubs because I want to spend more time with my family and it costs a lot to go play golf. And my wife said, no, it's because you stink at golf. That's why you gave up the clubs and you hate losing. And I said, well, okay, that's true too. So it's easy on a day like today to be pessimistic and worried. It's easy to get competitive, and it's even easy to start thinking, well, there's so many groups that ask for money. How can I balance this all out? How can I give enough to the church and give enough to my alma maters and to this education group, to this arts foundation, to these boards, so that everybody gets some money and, quite frankly, they all think that I'm a good member of all these different organizations, that I support them all, that I love them all, and that we're all connected. And I get worried about what people think in all these different places. Here's the thing, if those are my main concerns for giving, then I'm looking the wrong way. I'm not paying attention to what I need to be paying attention to. It'd be, well, like looking the wrong way and trying to cross Roswell Road at the middle of the day. You're going to get run over. It's not going to work real well. Today's reading is perfect illustration of that. Jesus tells the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, tells us the story about people looking the wrong way, focusing on the wrong thing. But here's the thing, we're so used to hearing these stories that we aren't really hearing it anymore. That is, we hear Pharisee and we know that's the bad guy in Jesus' stories, and then tax collector or anybody else is the good guy. Except for that's not at all how the story really should be heard. In fact, let me be very clear, I would love to have 100 Pharisees in the church right now. That is, listen to what he says, God, I fast twice a week and I tithe all of my income. If we had 100 tithers and people who fasted regularly and came to church that regularly, we would be golden. I imagine we would not have a budget question at any point, and really we'd probably pay off our mortgage and our annual giving. No, the tax collector is the bad guy. He's the one who is robbing from his own friends and family, colluding with Rome, causing all sorts of trouble. He is the sinner. And the Pharisee is doing a pretty darn good job of being a good guy and doing what he's supposed to do. The problem is who they're paying attention to. The Pharisee is convinced he's done it all himself, while, well, the tax collector realizes that in God's eyes, he's not measuring up. He's looking in the right direction. So what does it mean to look in the right direction on a day like today, on a day of ingathering? It's not to think about what the person next to you has or how much someone else is giving or how much can possibly come in. It's looking in the wrong ways. If we're constantly comparing ourselves, there will always be someone stronger, faster, younger, brighter. You name it. There is always someone who can best us. As Teddy Roosevelt once said, comparison is the thief of joy, and it is true. No, on a day like today, we are called to do one thing and one thing only. That is to first take account for how much God has given us. And that's the hardest part of all. To literally sit there and try and add up all the ways God has blessed us and cared for us. We can start in any direction you want, but if we really start to list those things, if we start to say, I have a great job, I have a great retirement, I have a great family, I have great friends, I have great feet, ears, hair, I can breathe, I'm not hungry, I have shoes and clothes. Go down the list and you start to list these things and list them and list them and list them. We could literally spend the rest of the day doing nothing but writing and thanking God for the gifts we have. Thanking God over and over again, from every giant thing to every little thing, it doesn't matter. We are blessed beyond measure. That's where we should start, because it's really then about giving in gratitude, realizing I have so much so that I can share so much. People will often wonder about giving and what the requirements are. The Old Testament's clear. 10% is the minimum standard. You give 10% to the church. But Jesus makes a bigger declaration. He says, no, God gave you everything, and so everything needs to go to God. And not you write a check to the church for your full paycheck. It's how do you organize all that you have so it's a witness to your love for God and your neighbor. Sometimes you just got to pay your bills. That's part of it. And some of it is also then how do you share what you have with others? That abundance to recognize that you're not the only person in the world. For my family and I, we tithe. We have made the choice to tithe. That is one of our practices and duties. And people ask, well, how does that work? And you say, well, it's just 10% of your total income, of your gross. That is before taxes for us, because God gets first in my idea and not Uncle Sam. So we give in that way. But we give because we are so grateful to have it. And it comes from, I guess, in part, my gratitude and how I was raised. I was born and raised in Memphis and went to a church called St. John's, which is a fascinating little place. On the outside, the church is built as an exact replica of Bruton Parish, the famous church in Williamsburg, one of the first colonial churches in America. You can go and visit it today. It's beautiful. It is colonial. It is distinctly American. But on the inside of the church, it features the frescoes of the first artist to paint a papal chapel since Michelangelo. So on the outside, you have American. On the inside, you have a sort of Byzantium and Rome. And then we celebrate, of course, an Episcopal Anglican liturgy. So you have Rome and England and America and Byzantine all wrapped up in one. And I love that place. But I don't love it necessarily because of the beauty of the murals. I love it because of the community that raised me there. That is, when I got there, and when I got there was in my mother's womb, my mom and dad came to the church and became part of a community that literally was the expectant mother's class. So there were 10 couples that I was raised with and their children, which all were my age. And when anything happened in life, good, bad, or indifferent, that is the community that learned about it first. If I got good grades, if I flunked a test, they were the first to know. If I brought a new girlfriend home, they learned that too and made fun of me appropriately or not, approving or not. When my brother died, they were the first people at my home to comfort me. And they were there in the weeks and months and years of grief that came after, knowing that grief doesn't just automatically turn off like a switch. They were the people who buoyed me and walked in faith with me and still are in touch with me on a regular basis and are what I understand the church to be. And that is what the church is called to be, a witness to God and a place where we share our abundance and our love and our connection with each other. The most often question I get when I am here, people will ask, well, how long are you staying? And I always go, I just got here. I mean, why are you asking when I'm leaving? Let's just enjoy the time together. But let me be clear here. This is an easy answer. My sons are in the second and fifth grade, and I want them to be raised in a community the same way I was raised in a community that loves and supports them every step of their life. So we ain't going anywhere for a good 10 plus years. Because I want them to have that ability. I've chosen this place to be a place that helps me raise my boys, to be that witness of God's grace and love in the world, and yes, abundance. When we talk about a day like this in gathering, it's to count those blessings and to be excited about being together, about sharing those things. Because let's be honest, as we list those things we are thankful for, there is someone in this congregation that is hurting because they don't have one or two of those things. And that's okay, because as a community, we come in and say, I will walk with you as you hurt in this area, and you'll walk with me when I hurt in this area. And together we can be whole. Together we can be God's witness of love and light. Again, the pessimist sees the glass as half empty. The optimist sees the glass as half full. The Christian should say, thank God for the glass and for the water in the first place. It gives me something to share. It gives me something to rejoice with my sisters and brothers. And that's what we celebrate this day on Ingathering, that we have been given so much. And that gives us the chance to share so much. In just a moment, we'll come together. We'll offer what God has given us in this basket just before me. But more, what we are doing is truly trying in gratitude to realize all that we've been given, to give thanks for that, and even more, to put our faith in God that we will continue to be God's kingdom. We'll grow in faith, and we will be generous in heart. If we can do that, then we will begin to be God's church, and we will be grateful. Amen.